this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer again, just invite him to have his way. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful we can come here this morning, Father, to gather with believers, Lord, and it's one of the privileges we still have here in this country, Lord, and as Christians, Lord, that we can gather together to draw strength from each other. It's part of the ministry that we have as a body is to strengthen each other, Lord. So I pray that, Father, we would just take that seriously. We would take that into account and not be a detriment, not pulling each other apart, not being divisive, but, Lord, that we can cling closer together and to you, Lord Jesus, and let you be the center, Lord Jesus, of all we do and think and say and our actions, Lord. Let it be about you, Father. And today we come here, Lord, because we want to hear from you again. We want to see Christ. We want to hear him. We want to know him, Lord, more than we ever have before, Lord, because this is the way, Lord Jesus, that we're going to go home. This is what we live for, Lord. So let it be again this morning that you would come and just make yourself real among us. We believe it, Father, because it's your word, it's your will. We can have confidence then, Lord, in asking you to come and be our Lord this morning. Lord, bless us now as we go to the word, Lord. Just anoint me to speak what you once said. Anoint each heart to hear and accept it, Lord. And Father, don't let me say anything that would be displeasing to you, Father. I ask this in your name, amen. God bless you. It's just good to be here again this morning. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16, we'll read something there and then we'll be seated. Matthew 16, and we'll start at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter loved Jesus, and he said, Lord, this ain't going to happen to you. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You may be seated. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Excuse me. You know, I was thinking this morning, getting ready for church, getting ready to leave the house and just everything ready. I had to pack. I'm going to Knoxville. Got to do some training there this week, so I'm going this afternoon and just getting a lot of things done. And Satan was attacking me. Can you believe that? Satan was coming into my mind with all these thoughts. And I was thinking, you know, Sunday mornings and Thursday afternoon is his favorite time. Because Satan wants to get your mind, my mind, I don't know, I can't speak for you, but he wants to get my mind defiled. He wants me to get tore up about something. He wants me to think on something evil. He wants me to get some attitude, anything he can. So when I get to church, it's not going to be as effective. I'm not going to be able to receive from God. I'm going to have to be struggling with these things because I let them in my mind. And that's his time to attack. Because he knows that this is so important that you come to church and you come with the right frame of mind. Because if not, and I've been there many times, half the service is over before finally I get my mind cleared out and I can start paying attention and start hearing what God has to say. And sometimes it doesn't, even the whole service, I'm still tore up because I gave my mind to something Satan was doing to get me, so when I got here, I'm holding a grudge. I'm thinking about something wrong. I'm my mind is someplace else. I'm worried about something because saying no, this is so important. This is where you get your strength. This is where you get your drink and your food. This is where you get to with each other, and you know, you go through the service and someone is praising God and someone's rejoicing and you're sitting there like a bump on the log and you start getting an attitude. Man, I wish you'd be quiet. It's true, isn't it? And then I noticed this morning, and at one point I just stopped and I said, I just stopped praying. I said, God, Satan is trying to get my mind all tore up, getting my mind defiled, thinking all this stuff over here so that I'm not going to be as effective preaching this morning. And just like that, it cleared up and it was good. 5 minutes later, here it comes another thing. And I'm thinking about something and all of a sudden, oh, you slicker. Because now he came in from a different angle, but he presented it a different way, and I didn't even recognize it. And until I'd been thinking about that, I said, wait a minute. He knows what he's doing. You can't outthink him. You can't outsmart him. You're not stronger than him. There's only one thing that you have, and that is revelation. But when you stand on revelation, he can't prevail against you. Ain't that amazing? See, God comes and tells you something, and 6 weeks later, you're going through trials, and you start thinking in your mind, well, was that really real? Did God really say that? Is that really what God said? Did he really mean that? Was that really God? What is it? Satan coming to you just like he did Eve. Hath God said? You know, 6 weeks ago, you were confessing, God spoke to me, God did this, did this. Now you're having a hard time, so now your testimony gets a little different. He comes and says, hath God said? Did he really say that? And you say yes, and so he comes from another angle. And you fight that. And he knows your weaknesses. You know, it's amazing to me sometime before service, I'm really struggling with something. And after service, I look back at it and say, well, that's nothing. Why? Because Satan is going to save that where you're weakest. The next time it's time to go to service, he's going to attack you there again. He wants to keep that as a strong point for him. If he keeps attacking you with it, you're not going to get strengthened against it as much. Because he hates it when you come here, especially with the good attitude. This sounds kind of juvenile. But you know that Dr. Seuss book, Green Eggs and Ham? That's exactly what Satan does. Would you like green eggs and ham? No, I don't like green eggs and ham. Well, would you like it on a train? Would you like it in the rain? Would you like it on a dish? Would you like it with a fish? I don't know what it is. But what's he doing? He's offering all these different kind of ways to finally, what happens? The guy gives in, okay, finally I'll take it. That's what Satan does. He presents it this way, and you say, no, I don't like it that way. So he dresses it differently. Now, how about this way? No. Well, that's a track. No, I don't want it that. Well, how about I put some icing on it like this? Oh, that looks good. And what's he doing? He's got the same nasty thought, the same nasty unbelief, but he keeps dressing it different and presenting it different ways. And finally, he wears us down. It's like, okay, fine. And then the guy takes it, right? He eats it. And he likes it. Oh, I do like green eggs and ham. But you know what the last page of the book should say? Green eggs is poison and it killed him. Spiritually, you know what I'm talking about. You finally give in. He finally wears you down. You know why he don't want you to come to church? Because when he's wearing you down, you come here, you get strengthened, and so all of a sudden you're strong again. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart again and says, this is who you are. This is my will for you. This is your strength. Amen. That has nothing at all to do with what I'm planning on preaching this morning. Just had to get it off my heart to start. We're going to actually talk about sincerity. He's talked about it Thursday night. We're going to continue where we left off. Acceptable sincerity. What does God accept as sincerity? Because what we do is we judge by our human mind, what we see as being sincere. And a lot of times God looks at that and says, okay, that is sincere. That's an emotional sincerity. That's the best you have. That's as sincere as you can get yourself. But that ain't getting it. Because we found out Thursday night where real sincerity is not an emotion. No, it is not. It's not being nice. It's not, well, he's a good person. He's real sincere. And yet, as human beings, we want to make allowances for people. We do. We have someone, we see someone, and we know they're wrong. And yet, we like that person. And so we want to make allowances. Well, at least they're sincere. As if somehow
That makes God's gonna like, okay, well, yeah, you are totally wrong, but since you're sincere, I'm gonna allow you. Ain't gonna happen. I have seen this situation come up so many. I was talking to a brother about my dad. This brother, he knows my dad. He knew my dad. He really liked him. I really like my dad too, right? But I was saying something about how my dad was wrong about something, and this brother got uncomfortable. He said, "Yeah, but your dad was really sincere." Okay, what does that have to do with whether he was right or wrong? Because Brother Brandon said you can be sincerely wrong. I was preaching one time a long time ago, and I was mentioning what I had seen a minister doing in a youth service. And a minister was sitting there listening, and he didn't like what I said. He came up to me afterwards, and he said something like this. He said, "You know, that brother maybe doesn't agree. You don't agree with everything that brother says or what he believes, but he is really sincere." And he brought me a sharp rebuke. He said, "But he is really sincere." And I just didn't say anything. I said, "Okay." And I walked away. What does that have to do with it? Because he's sincere, I'm not supposed to expose that he's leading the young people wrong? He is sincere. And the best he can produce in himself, in his own mind, that's not what God's looking for. Because we saw Thursday night that true sincerity looks at the word and says, "Truth, Lord." It does not make an excuse. It does not say that, you know, "Well, I believe it this way, or I believe it that." No, it recognizes the truth and humbles itself to the truth. Amen. That's sincerity that God accepts. Remember the lady we were talking about, the Syrophoenician, she came to Jesus. She said, "Son of David, have mercy." He ignored her. She is crying. The disciples said, "Would you sit down in your pew and be quiet? We can't even have church around here because you won't be quiet. Pastor, tell her to be quiet." So what did he say? He said, "I didn't come for you, dog." What did she say? "Well, I ain't going to sit here when he preaches to me like that." No, he didn't. No, she didn't. She humbled herself because she was truly sincere and she was determined to get what she came for because she had faith. You can't really be sincere until God speaks to you and gives you that faith, that revelation. And she said, "Truth, Lord, but you know what? Us dogs, we eat the crumbs." She was willing to confess the truth. I know I preached this Thursday night, but it's still good. Let me read what Brother Branham said about this. "That little woman, no matter what the difficult was, she was persistent. She had the right approach to the gift of God. She had the right approach, humility. Sincerity will humble itself to the word. She fell down at his feet." She said she had humility. She didn't stand up and say, "Now wait just a minute. You know we people are Greeks. You said we were dogs. Just a minute here, sir. Do you realize that we're the masters of art? We're the masters of so-and-so and such?" She never thought of that. Today it's like, "Wait a minute. I'm a message believer. I know what the prophet said. Brother Branham said this, and Brother Branham said this, and Brother Branham said this. How do you dare talk to me like that? I've been in the message longer than you have." Yeah. She admitted he was right. She fell down at his feet and said, "Help me, Lord. I'll just eat the crumbs. If my daughter can have a whole slice of bread, will you just let me have the crumbs if she's a dog?" Oh my, there you are. What an attitude to take. Don't sit back there and get all sold up or start sulking because a preacher's preaching on your sins. He said, "Would we be satisfied with just the crumbs if the Holy Spirit should reveal to somebody tonight you're healed? Would we be ready just to take the crumbs, or would you want God to walk over and raise you up and give you some kind of a feeling?" Oh. "I want God to come down. I want to come up and be prayed for, and Brother Jerry prays for me, and I want to feel this great anointing come down and just wash over me. Then I'll accept it, Lord." He said, Would you want God to walk over and raise you up and give you some kind of a feeling? Or if you just say in your heart, my sickness is over and you haven't got it no more, I believe I'm going to be healed from tonight on, would you take the crumbs? What is it? God just speaks to you. Say, you're healed. I want it to happen now, because it's so much easier than if I have to walk in faith and he doesn't actually do it for 6 months. Don't you prefer to have it happen now? Of course, we're human beings. We like it quick. We want it fast food style. Would you want everybody to come up and lay hands on you and pour oil and go through the regular ritual like that? Or are you just looking for crumbs? God will honor that. Can I give a testimony? It's not even my testimony. It's Brother Cody's. After church Thursday night, pretty much everyone had left, but he was out there, and Brother Cody was on fire. Is this all right, Brother Cody? Appreciate it. If you want me to be quiet, I will. Brother Cody was on fire. He said he was really struggling Sunday. He had all these things to confess. Satan had been kicking him around. He came up for Brother Jerry to pray for him, and he was ready to just empty his heart, lay it all out on the line. And Brother Jerry just turned to him and said something like, don't you know that you're an elect seed of God? And just like that, it was okay. It was over. That wasn't Brother Jerry speaking. A man, if that was just Brother Jerry speaking and just him saying it, just of his own self, we would not have that conversation out there, because it would not have that effect. But it was God speaking through the pastor, and it took everything and put it in perspective. Now, what are you worried about? What are you worried about if you're God's elect? Don't you know that he's going to take care of everything? Now, here's the key to the whole thing. Brother Cody had to make a choice. He had to decide, is that good enough for God just to speak like that? Or do I need to feel this great feeling and anointing? Because once Cody accepted that, he knew that was God speaking, and it took care of everything. There really was not even a reason to pray anymore, because he had received his answer. Now, it's fine to go ahead and pray and you know, thank God him, you know, in everything, and just ask God to continue to strengthen him. But that was the answer right there. Now, how many times are you sitting in your pew and you get that answer, but yet it's not enough? I can tell you, I've been in a situation, I've heard of people say something, you know, God really spoke to me in that service, but yet I still have this problem, I still have this problem, and I still have this problem. You know, this would just get taken care of. I'm thinking, wait! You just said God spoke to you, and yet you're confessing all these problems you still have concerning that. You don't want the crumbs. You're not willing to accept the crumbs. You need to have God come and do something great. What humans call great. You know, someone comes down to the altar to get prayed for, and God just anoints them, and they're crying, and they're staggering, everything, and you come down to get prayed for, and nothing happens. You walk back to your seat, and you're thinking, does everyone think God didn't answer my prayer? Because, you know, this person got anointed and crying, and here I just got nothing, just a little old prayer. Maybe I wasn't sincere enough. Oh my goodness, look at the human way we're looking at this. Can you just take the word of God as he speaks to you and just walk in that? Can you walk in faith? Sincerity. We want to make excuses for people we like. And what happens is people, especially people who live in more an emotional realm, is they struggle. If you say something like that brother who rebuked me, If he would have just recognized I was saying nothing against the brother. You know, Brother Branham said, if you can't bitterly disagree with someone and still put your arm around them and love them with all your heart, you need to get to the altar. Well, if you can't say anything, if bitterly disagreeing, I'm going to get up and say, brother, this is wrong. I can call out the sin, but I can still put my arm around him and love him and say, this is nothing personal. I love you dearly. I have friends at work who are homosexual. I love them. They're human beings. What does that have to do with if they're right or wrong? Well, you shouldn't say anything against a brother if he's sincere. If he's sincere, really sincere, he's going to be with the Word. Because he's going to surrender his will and take the Word. Let me find that quote. Brother Branham said this. Talking about the Jews. They had the sacrifice, and they'd come, and they were sincere, and they give their sacrifice every year, right? He said, now this young Jew was just as sincere as he could be in what he was doing. But listen to this. He said, when the time come to change his creed, that's where the trouble come. When it comes time to change the creed, when God is fulfilling the word, and it's time to turn the corner and take the next step, that's where the trouble come. It's that turning the corner is what throws us. And these people are so in love with their religion. They're so in love with what God has done. But they don't want to go and keep going and turn the corner. We've turned some corners around here in Dixon. Those people who refused to change their creed, they left. Because we're going this way and this one this way. And they kept going that way. But they're sincere, right? As far as a human sincerity, just as sincere as can be. But they're still wrong. Caiaphas, remember him? They were sincere about dealing with this problem they had. There's some new prophet coming up out of Galilee, and he was causing problems. And Caiaphas was so sincere, he got in the spirit, he prophesied. He said something like, he said, isn't it better for one man to die than the whole country to be destroyed? The whole nation? Don't tell me he wasn't sincere. And he sincerely went out and crucified Jesus Christ. Yeah, he was sincere. What good did it do him? Jesus, the scripture we read, Jesus was telling him the word. This is what's supposed to happen. He's the Lamb of God. He has to be the sacrifice. Peter didn't like it. He did not want to see this happen. And so he stood up, and in his sincerity, his human love for Jesus, he said, no. No one's going to hurt you. Later on, he even said, he pulled the sword. He's going to say, nothing bad is going to happen to you. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. He said, nothing's going to happen to you. Far be it from you. And so Jesus turned to him and said, well, thank you for your support, Peter. I appreciate it. I know you're standing with me. No, he didn't. He looked right through that. He said, get behind me, Satan. Well, what a rebuke. I'm here trying to support you, Jesus, and you turn around and call me Satan. Why? He said, you savor the things of men over the things of God. You prefer the things of men. You're living by your human emotion instead of taking God at his word. You prefer your own way instead of making the word first. Oh, we all do it. That's why we struggle accepting some of the preaching sometimes, because we don't want it to be that way. We don't want to have to die to ourselves. Jesus said you have to deny yourself to accept me. Because if you try to save this life, you're going to lose it. If you try to keep my life. But I have a reputation, Jesus. Don't you understand? Don't you know I have these friends? Don't you know this is what I want out of life? This is my ambition. This is who I want to be. I don't want it this way. Well, Jesus didn't want it that way either. He didn't want to go to Calvary. But he was willing to humble himself in true sincerity and say, but this is the will of God. Now that's humility. That's sincerity. God accepts that. Because he asked the most amazing question. What would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Because the sad reality is, the vast majority of people would give. They will take the world over their soul. They'd say, well, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But when it really comes down to it, I'm not ready to deny myself to that extent. Surely if I'm sincere, God will accept me. Surely if I'm a good person, if I'm a loyal person to church, if I believe this, surely God will accept me. He doesn't need a complete, total surrender. I'm sincere. But God won't accept that.
He said, remember, I'm on record for this. Any promise of God in the Bible, it's on condition. Just because you believe it's there, that don't make it so it'll happen. Well, Brother Branham said it. I believe it. That don't make it'll happen. Them Pharisees and Sadducees were just as religious as with those sacraments as they could be. They were good message believers as far as following the rules. They were sincere. But Jesus said, they stink in my nose. He said, see, there was no sincerity. Now, wait a minute. How could you say there's no sincerity when they're living that as to the utmost of their ability? Those priests, if they went out and sinned, they were stoned. You see, he said, there's no sincerity. There is nothing to it that should be. He said, you got to come upon basic promise and then upon your mental attitude towards it. Your sincerity is resting on the word, not on your emotion. You can work yourself up to a great emotional sincerity. I've said this before. I remember one time when, you know, Brother Brown said, you know, we used to have all-night prayer meetings, and I got to point, you know, I've never really prayed all night. Maybe if I would pray all night, then I'd get what I needed from God. So I stayed up all night. You know what I got? Very tired. And my testimony is, that wasn't it. I got a testimony from it. That wasn't it. Because it was my own human ability trying to impress God, trying to show God how sincere, how bad I wanted. It wasn't based on a promise. It wasn't because God led me to do it. He allowed me to do it to show my foolishness. Our own ability. Some people come to church just for the emotional part. Some people come to church just to sing. Some come to church just to enjoy the good singing. He said, that's all right. Some people come to church and then join church just to hide their meanness.
Oh, my.
Make themselves a little better name in the neighborhood. Some come to church sincere. Listen to this. Some come to church sincerely, but don't never have a touch from God. Wow. They come sincerely,
but never have a touch from God. We read about a person like that in the Bible. His name was Esau. We talked about him Thursday night. Was Esau sincere? He sought carefully for a place of repentance with tears. If he was here today, he'd come down to this altar. He'd be down here. He'd be praying. He'd be crying out to God. He'd say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But in his heart, he never could come to a place where he would just see the importance and say, that birthright really was important. It just never was. He would sit there and say, what is the big deal? Why do you demand so much? I'm a good person. Ain't I good to my daddy? Ain't I good to my prophet, daddy? I respect my prophet, my dad, the prophet. Isn't that enough? You look sincere to me. I would have said, yeah, Esau, I think you found some. You're good to go. Look at your tears. He was just sorry because the circumstances that he found himself in. That's not true repentance. Some come to church sincerely but never have a touch from God. But when God calls a man, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. All that comes, I will give him everlasting life and raise him up on the last day. Hallelujah. He said, no one can come to me unless I draw you. And if I draw you, I will save you. My. Now take that sincerely. Take that promise and say, God, you have brought me here. You have called me. You have chosen me. And you promised to raise me up and give me eternal life. So I am standing here. I'm on your hand. Do the work in me. Now, don't move from there. Well, it didn't happen. Been here for 6 months and didn't happen. Didn't happen, I don't know. You know why we have the stories of Noah and Abraham and all these people? There's your example. Go back and read it sometime. Can you call yourself their brother? Can you call this? These are my brother. Noah's my brother. How do you know? Because I have the same faith he does. How do you know? Because when I heard the word, I stayed with it till it happened just like he did. I didn't get discouraged and quit building the ark. I kept there. Sometimes you got to have crazy faith, brother. Says you got to believe crazy things. It's crazy. But that makes you a brother to these heroes, a sister. He said, I hope you see it, brother. It's the work of the Holy Spirit revealing to the individual, not upon some emotion, not upon something you should do or shouldn't do. It's not about following the rules, brother and sister. Or this, that, or the other. All those things are all right. The moves and works and shouting and dancing and speaking in tongues. All those things are all right. But the first thing is to be a spiritual revelation that God has given the individual. You can't even be sincere till God reveals to you his word. But when God speaks to you, that gives you sincerity. That will sit you right there and say, well, if God called me, and he called me that I'm his seed, I'm sitting here till I get exactly what I need. I need a new birth. I need healing. I need deliverance. I need to be able to overcome this. I need to be able to overcome this. I'm on your hand, God. I'm not moving. That's humility, brother and sister. Because now you're going to fight the greatest battle ever fought. Because several months or weeks or years down the road when it hasn't all happened the way you thought it, the way you wanted it to, are you still sitting there on the promise or have you got up and walked away? The first thing is to has to be a spiritual revelation that God gives the individual that Jesus Christ is the Son of God calling. That's right. Without that, brother, you're only impersonating, only pretending. You first thing you need is Jesus to reveal to you that he is calling you. Other than that, you're impersonating. Well, I go to church. I listen to the preacher. I live a good life. Has Jesus Christ himself ever called you personally? Has he drawn you to himself? Well, I don't know, Brother Phil. Well, won't you think it's time to find out? Don't you think it is? He says, that's what the experience of being, he said, what about this experience of being born again? What about knowing Jesus? Or you say, well, I know the mayor of the city. I'm well acquainted with the pastor. That ain't what I'm talking about. The people you see in church, they want to be in tight with the pastor. I want to hang out with the pastor. I hang out with Brother Jerry. That means me closer to heaven, right? Well, did it make Judas closer to heaven? He said, that ain't what I'm talking about. What about being born again and knowing Jesus? Don't guess at it. Just don't imagine you are, but you must be born again. I don't mean a fanatical, emotional, mental workup. I mean a real experience. It's not a fanatical, emotional workup. Something happened. You were sitting there and God spoke to you and you know your life was changed. Whether it happened in your seat, whether it happened down here at the altar, whether it happened when you're driving down the road, whether it happened in your bed, but God spoke to you and something was different. And all of hell is going to be against that. Satan don't care if you got emotional. He don't care if you cried. He's not going to come to you and say, you didn't cry at church. Well, yes, I did. No, you didn't. Well, yes, I did. I have a handkerchief that's still wet with snot. I cried. He don't care. He'll make you emotional to push you past. God's trying to speak to you. He gets you all worked up emotionally. Just cry. Okay, now you're good to go again. You know that don't work. How many times have you cried at church? But what he cannot stand is when you hear the voice of God and you accept it and you stand on that. That's where he's trying to push you off. Get you thinking about something. Get you disbelieving what God said. As long as you're on that word, you're safe. What happened with Eve? He enticed her off. From behind the revelation. He got her off the promise with enticement. Think about this. What about this? Wouldn't you like this? I can make it look good. I can put some icing on this sin, this icing that, man, that looks just so good. Let me dress it up a little bit for you. Entices us to step away from the revelation that God gave us. Brother Branham said, we notice people making their confession has got to come with a deepness of sincerity. He talks about they were in a place in New York preaching. He said, I found among the people lacking sincerity, it seemed like. I wondered why. Here was one man was healed. The man had great affliction. He was healed that night standing there. Before we left, 5 days later, the affliction was back on him. He said, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it took that off of him. But there must be a deep sincerity to know that God that taken it away from you now with that same anointing on you can keep it away from you. Because he believed it in the moment and that anointing, but then Satan started talking to him. He said, that's just emotion. You're not really healed. You're not really set free. You're not really delivered. And he started believing that lie. And he got it back. He said it takes a deep sincerity to believe the promise of God no matter what Satan tells you. He said, then the Holy Spirit spoke to me one morning about daylight and said, get up on the platform and bring these people up there and make them confess everything that they did before you pray for them. The deepness of sincerity. Ooh. What is that? Are you willing to come up in humility and confess what you've done? Are you that sincere? Are you willing to say, whatever it takes, God? Whatever it takes. Because that's what it takes. And Brother Cody came up last Sunday ready to be there, ready to do that, and he didn't have to because God knew his heart. And he said, yeah, I recognize your sincerity. You're my seed. Now go and quit worrying about it. I love it when I can tell these testimonies because this is the manifestation of the word for this day. This is Christ in action. This is reality. This ain't just quoting some quotes. This is what God is currently doing in his bride. What else do you want? What else do you want? You know the only thing that I don't like about it? Is because when I see someone with that testimony, I think, man, they're closer to God than I am right now. And I don't like that. And it spurs me on. I say, God, I need to give, I want that testimony. I want something from you. I want more. That's where your courage comes from. That's where you support each other. I left here Thursday night, you know, just so strengthened because of his testimony. It was awesome. That's what it means to be part of the body of Christ. That's the reality of it. Is that why we're coming to church? Why are you here? Well, because you're supposed to come to church on Sunday morning. Well, yes, you are. I'm trying to get to one more. Yes, but let me get to this one more quote. And this is something I want to, I think, end on here. Brother Branham says, here's what's wrong. Now, first of all, he said, now get this lesson. So he's telling us, listen to what I'm saying. He said, here's what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. There is two different kinds of faith, two different kinds of virtue, as I had it the other day, two different kinds of knowledge, two different kinds of temperance. Then he goes to talk about temperance. He says, one thing says prohibition. That ain't the kind of temperance God's talking about. It's that ungodly, uncontrollable temper you got and things of that type, sass back and fuss. All right? That's the true temperance where you don't do that. Patience and so forth. He's talking about virtue and temperance and knowledge and faith, patience and so forth. He says there's a mockery of it, a pretending to be. And then he says it's a nature-given faith, a nature-given virtue. There's a nature-given temperance. All these things are nature-given. What's he saying? He's saying you have strengths that come naturally with your personality. Some people have a nature-given faith. They just naturally believe. Some people have natural temperance where they can control their temper. Some people have a nature-given patience. They just naturally are more patient than other people. You've seen this. You can look at your own life and you think, see things that, well, I don't really struggle with that. This person over here blowing off the, you know, always mad and screaming and getting mad. And personally, I don't struggle with that very much. I don't hardly ever lose my temper when I just start screaming and shouting and cussing people out. It's just not my nature. He says that's a mockery, a pretending. So much for my holiness. So much for me looking around my nose at you people who can't control your temper. I'm just pretending. It's a mockery. Now, there's other things that I struggle with as much as anyone. I'm weaker than anyone else in here. And you might look down your nose and say, what's wrong with you, Phil? Okay, mocker. Keep pretending. And yet this is where so many people go to see, look, God, I'm kind of holy here. Look how much patience I had. This person just really getting on my case, and I am so patient. I think God's kind of impressed with me right now. Surely he sees how holy I am. Brother Brown said it's a mockery, it's a pretending, it's nature given. In other words, it ain't doing you a bit of good. It's not making you holy. Now, does that mean you go out and just, okay, fine, then I'll just, no, of course you don't go do crazy stuff. Because this is what your strength is. Don't go and make things worse. You got enough things to fight without finding more things to fight. More things to overcome. He said the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. It's mental. You believe it because you've heard the prophet say it. So many amens I've heard in churches. You know, brother, you know, the preacher will say something, and you hear people, amen. Why? Brother Branham said this, amen, he sure did. Okay, so you can read. You can listen to a tape and you know what the prophet said. The biggest part of our faith is mental faith. That's what the prophet just said. Has it become a reality for you? Has it become more than just, I know what the prophet said? Has it become I know the prophet said it, but you know how I know it's true for sure? It's because I've seen it happen. I've seen it in action. Now you have something to say amen about. And that's the point where the preacher will say something and you might not even agree, or you never heard it preached that way, or you're not sure about it, but something inside of you says, amen. Because then it ain't you anyways. It's the Holy Spirit in you amening every word. You ever been there? You just say something, it comes out, and it's like, where'd that come from? I don't even know if I believe that. Something inside of you believes it. Better bring your mind in connection to the word. He said, by hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this coming from above strikes this, it's in your heart, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. And then you say amen, whether you felt like saying amen or not. You ever been in that situation? You're sitting there, Brother Jerry is chewing you up and down, and you feel like you're totally exposed and humiliated, and he says something, and you say amen anyways. Well, that's good for your flesh. Your mind is just reeling, and it's like, ugh! And then he says amen. Oh, it's good for you. It's called denying yourself. Your flesh didn't want to say it, but something inside took control and you went and said it anyways. You know what happens when you do that? It breaks that hold in your emotional realm. I'm speaking from experience, brother and sister. Your mind's trying to resist, and you don't like it, and you say amen anyways. You watch how weak that old flesh becomes. Yes, sir. You want to hold on to that old flesh? Just keep your amens to yourself then. You walk out here just as strong in your flesh as when you got here. You want to die to that self? Say amen to the word when it's tearing you up. Yes, sir. I know what I'm talking about. It's not a doctrine. That's an experience. Make me feel like a total fool. But it's true. So you might as well say amen to it. That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the word. Because, why? In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the word is still God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's why. It recognizes the word because the word is God, it always will be God, it has been forever, it's always going to continue to be God, and it is made flesh among us now. And that faith that's been revealed to you says amen to that. It recognizes the word made flesh. Now you have something to be happy about. Now you have a sincerity. Because when you see the reality of the word living among you, it will bring you to a sincerity. It says, I've got to have that. I see a brother, I see a sister who seems to be closer to God. I said, I want that relationship. I don't want their doctrine. I don't care how holy you're living. I want that relationship with Christ that I see that person having. Because if I see him closer to God than me, then I know there's more of God for me. What drives it? It's something inside, brother and sister. And all you do is you choose. Deny myself, deny the word. My. I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope you've experienced what I'm talking about. And when the word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. Think about it. You hear something, you believe it. Don't, well, I wonder if that's this mental faith, I just ignore it. No, you don't. You believe that until that faith pours into that and it becomes spiritual revelation. Sunday, Cody was sitting there at the pew and something was on his heart. Go for it, get prayed for. He came up with the mental faith. Spiritual faith poured into that and it became a revelation. He walked out knowing exactly who he is. Make sense? That's the way it happens. Now, it wasn't mental faith that brought him up here, but he came up with a mental conception that needed to be clarified, needed to be strengthened. And it did. It happened. When you come to be prayed for, what are you looking for? I know I've said this, Brother Brandon said. Brother Brandon said, don't come looking for emotion. Don't come looking for a sensation. He said, come looking for truth. Come looking for truth. Watch it happen, brother and sister. But then you have to be able, you have to be willing to accept it the way he gives it. Sometimes it's just crumbs to our human nature. Well, Brother Jerry prayed for this brother, and he got all anointed, and he fell on the floor, and he was shouting and jumping around. He prayed for me, and I didn't feel anything. Well, you cry, baby. Go get your pacifier. We don't like the way God sent. I'm going to say something that might rankle a few people, but I'm going to say it anyways. I don't care. Up here, I don't care. While I'm back in the parking lot, I'm going to say, man, why did I say that? The Holy Spirit makes you break. Two Sundays ago, I was here, and Brother Jerry had preached. Here we go. Brother David got up, and he was going up and down the aisle, shouting, saying all kinds of stuff. And I'll tell you right now, there are some people in here who did not appreciate that. Why don't he just sit down and be quiet? Why does he always have to act out? And I was standing there, I was thinking about that. And I, you know, God just, he has such a strange way. He spoke to me and he said, what if David had spoken tongues first and then said those things? You know what the difference would have been? Oh, it's God speaking. We would have thought, oh, it's so spiritual. He spoke in tongues, now he's interpreting it. Ain't that amazing? But when he just speaks in plain English, what we all understand, like they did on the day of Pentecost, then we don't want to hear it. Then it's just David. Oh, sometimes he can make us uncomfortable. It gets awkward. Why does God have to do it that way? All he had to do is have some, if he just said, you know, spoken tongues, I'm not mocking it, but whatever like that, right? And then he would have started saying those things. It would have been like, ooh, this is God speaking. But he didn't. He just came out and spoke in the language we all understand, so there's no confusion. And that got all over some people in here. It did. Did you hear what he said? Was it the truth? Well, I don't want it that way, God. I didn't feel very spiritual. You weren't. Because you were being offended. Man. Does this offend you? Do you want to go too? You didn't come to God. He called you. He chose you.
Exactly.
All you got to do is make your choice.
Amen.
Are you going to accept that or not? He drew you here. What do you have to boast about? What do you have to say? Well, I don't agree with that. Who asked you? There's one person in here who can bring a rebuke to Brother David. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through the pastor. Haven't we learned that by now? Yes, we have. And yet, our flesh still despises the crumbs. We want lightning and thunder. And we want it to come in a way that our flesh can accept it because it's spiritual. Oh. I tell you what, I get so excited when I see God exposing the devil. Exposing our flesh, exposing this, and putting it out there saying, this is me. This is me. Well, those people, Brother Phil, are sincere. I could care less. I don't care how sincere they are. Are they accepting the word or not? That's sincerity. I was talking, I told you this before. I got to say it again. You remember when Here I Stand came out? Y'all remember. Great big tidal wave through the message. And I was talking to a very prominent minister at that time. And I asked, well, you know, what do you think about Brother Joseph and Brother Billy Paul, you know, what they're doing, you know, what do you, how about this? And he said, you know, people, other, you know, making tapes. He said, well, how do you think it makes them feel? And I was a young minister. I just didn't feel like I should say it. I said, yeah, it's true. And I'm afraid now, as I've gotten a little older and less politically correct, maybe, I would have to ask him, what does that have to do with it? But I didn't want to be a smart aleck or anything. I still don't want to be a smart aleck. But what does it have to do with how they felt? What does the word say about it? This brings me to one of the most powerful things Brother Branham ever said in the Church Age book. He said, when the true church can recognize and withstand the Antichrist spirit. So if I recognize, well, this is wrong. But since the brother is sincere, I'm not going to say anything. Then I'm a coward. And if I say something against the brother because I have a personal feeling against him, I need to be born again. Or at least I need another trip to the altar to get rid of that feeling. But if I love that brother enough to tell the truth, then that's Christ. And if I don't love you enough to tell the truth, even though it hurts your feelings, and you might not like me very much, then I don't need to be preaching to you, and you need to set me down. You need to quit listening to me, because I don't love you enough. It's true. Which is a really good thing that the Holy Spirit comes up and anoints ministers, because if it was in our own strength, we would not want to do that. No one wants to get up here and hurt someone's feelings. Especially the people you love more than anyone else in the world. And you got to get up and say things that gets all over them. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's all I have to say. He said, when the word itself is pouring into our faith. Our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation, I'll build my church. Not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When the streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It shows they would be against it, but they'll never prevail. That is the only place that we can defeat Satan. The only strength we have is the revelation. He will kick your mental conception, your mental faith all over the place. You ever try to stand against him with the mental faith? You just take the word, start quoting the word, and it's not been revealed to you. He laughs at your face and kicks your teeth in. But take some time when you take what God has revealed to you and stand on that. You are on a solid rock as long as you continue to choose to believe. Now, if this hasn't encouraged you this morning, sorry for you, because it's encouraged me. I'm so happy to see God moving in our midst. So happy to see the things that God is doing. And sometimes someone will come up to me and say something, and I'll recognize, oh my goodness, you've heard from God. That was not just a mental conception. Brother Gene did it just a couple weeks ago. He don't recognize it. I didn't say anything about it. But he came up and said something to me, and I just stopped and I thought, wow. Brother Gene, he's getting it. What he said was straight. I mean, that was a revelation. God spoke that to his heart. You don't remember what it was, do you? Think you do? It's awesome, brother and sister. That's what real fellowship is. That's what real oneness is with Christ. That's what we're here for. You can encourage people, and there are some people here who are so good at encouraging. Oh my goodness. I always like to be around them because they're always encouraging. They have a gift for it. And God anoints that. If you're that person, Sister Jackson, don't ever be quiet. He's shaking his head. Yeah. You just got a double now, huh? But there are, and sometimes you see people, and they've heard from God, they're encouraged, and it's so good to be around. And I'm not saying this to down anybody, but other times that same person, you can see Satan's just kicked them around. And they've allowed themselves to take a negative approach, attitude. It's like, I don't know, Brother Phil. Okay, look, this is the thing where you're feeling that way. You set those feelings aside, and you continue to confess what God has done for you. And sometimes when a person is down, you need to step up there and let God speak to you and encourage that person. That's what we're here for. Someone come up to me and say, you're not feeling too well today, are you? I didn't know I was that transparent. Yeah, you're right. But they talk to you, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, I'm feeling better. It's good. You're going by your feelings. No, I'm not going by my feelings. I get my mind in the right place so that God can continue to bless me, that I can continue to believe the word. Because when you're walking in a negative atmosphere, that word stops growing. It's like planting your seed and your plant's coming up, then you allow a big cloud to come over and block the sun. Get the cloud out of the way. Sometimes that's the best thing about fellowship. It gets the clouds out of the way. The sun can start striking that plant again. I'm trying to quit. On way over time. He's just so good. Isn't it so simple? It's really that simple.
Brother Phil, I cannot explain anything about the seven thunders. I can't either. I'm serious. I was reading this a little recently. I was reading on that and I'm thinking, what in the world is this all about? I do not know. But it takes the revelation of the seven thunders to put us in the rapture. What's it going to be? I used to get tore up about that. I remember talking to Dale Potter years ago. What is these seven thunders, Brother Dale? He tried to explain it to me. I have no clue what that's all about. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because as I need it, it's going to be revealed. And you know what's probably going to happen? We're going to manifest it. And you're going to turn around and say, see, that was the seven thunders. You know why you say that? Because that's what he always does. He has you manifest something and he turns around and says, this is what you were doing. That's what Brother Branham says. And I've seen him do it so many times. He's good to us. He's good to us. Are you a seed of God? Are you elect seed of God? Then what are you worried about? Everything you have need of is taken care of. You have to fight for it. God gave the children of Israel the promised land, but then they had to go fight. So yeah, you know, you're going to fight. And that's what we're learning is how to be soldiers. Let's stand. I got to quit talking. God bless you. It's just such a good atmosphere. It's so easy to preach to you this morning. And I just pray that you are encouraged and recognize Satan will come and try and get you hit. Satan will push you pat. You need to get more sincere and try and get you working it up on your own self. Just back off and say, you know, God spoke to me, that makes me sincere. It's not a feeling at all. You can be totally sincere and never feel anything, not be emotional at all, and it's sincere, deadly sincere. Now, usually sincerity will produce emotion. Desperation will produce an emotion. But that in itself, that emotion ain't the sincerity or the desperation. Sometimes God wants to show that. So he'll have you being sincere without feeling anything. And yet God looks at you and says, that's my sincerity. That's what I accept. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father. I'm just so thankful you would come and speak to us this morning, Lord. And I pray that the word that you brought would have the effect you wanted it to, Lord, and to encourage people and just, Lord, just to draw us closer to you so we can see your characteristics, we see attributes. And when we see him, Lord, we love him and we love you more, Lord, and we want more of that. And then we're willing to lay down the enticements that Satan approaches us with, the things that we have weaknesses because of our flesh. But, Lord, your love is stronger, Father, and you draw us closer to you. Then, Father, we can lay the things of the world lose their hold, and we become an overcomer because of our love for you and the faith that you have given us to believe. Lord, help us to recognize the difference between mental faith and spiritual faith, the revelation of the word, the truth to us, and the strength it gives us. And sometime when we try to go on mental faith, maybe that's all we have in certain areas. But Father, if we will yield that to you, then you can make the difference and you can reveal yourself, Lord. Father, every person in here has a hunger for you. Their heart is hungering for more of you, Lord. That's why we're here. And Father, help us then to step beyond the things Satan presents, step beyond our flesh. Let's accept the crumbs, Lord, that you give to us sometimes, just in humility, showing that we're willing to take the crumbs, we're willing to take whatever you have just to be closer to you. And it'll help us, Lord, to recognize that our own natural given strength is nothing. But Lord Jesus, it just becomes a hindrance when we see it as our holiness. Father, help us to only rely on what you've revealed to us, Lord, the faith that you've given us. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Nate, would you come on up here? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord,
I said something to my wife the other day when I come in. I was acting like a fool. I said something to my wife that I ain't said since I've been born again. And I told her it'd never happen again. The devil has been trying to turn me around. I just want y'all to pray for me. I ain't yielding to the devil, but I said something I shouldn't have said. I'm responsible for Jessica and my kids. And the devil, he just tries to get in. He just tries to work another way in. And Brother Phil preached this message. And y'all pray for me. Because I said a word I shouldn't have said. And I told her, I ain't said it, still been born again. So sometimes you gotta confess stuff, tell what the devil's trying to do. I mean, he ain't trying to take me to the bars or anything, but he's going to try to get me to act like some kind of idiot again. And I have to raise up a standard, because I told the church, I said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he's trying to come against me and my family. And my wife, when I did that, I left for a while. My wife, she raised the standard. That old man ain't coming back. If I had to tell the church, he ain't coming back. That old man's dead. He tries to come in with a pressure that'll get you to fold, you know. And it's no excuse. But me and my house are going to serve the Lord. I don't want to bring any kind of reproach on this church. Any kind of reproach on this church. I learned my lesson bringing reproach. But if I go out and act like some kind of idiot, I'm bringing reproach on this church. Y'all pray for me. And forgive me. That will never happen again.
Amen.
Your Brother Bram says you want to defeat sometime. Defeating Satan, you just got to expose him. Right. And that's what a confession does. Confession is power. God bless you.
be dismissed this time. We'll have a...